This is Liz Lavender with Tim Roberts. What's your job at the moment? What's your role?
Currently, I am Director of Higher Education at the National Centre for Circus Arts here in London, formerly known as Circus Space.
And when did you first encounter No Fit State Circus?
When did I first encounter No Fit State Circus? I may have, and this is purely conjecture, but I may have run into somebody from No Fit State through the events known as the European Juggling Conventions, but I have no way of being sure. That is really quite a big event, and I wouldn't know. I think the first time I really met the people from No Fit State and had dealings with No Fit State was when I started my job here as Director of Higher Education, and my graduates were applying for jobs in No Fit State creations. And as someone training circus artists for the future, it was important that I knew the different companies that were in the country. And this was in my first time as 2000. So that's when I first met Ali and Tim. Tim, I actually met, he was working at Circus Space when I started in July 2000. Tim Adams, yeah.
Mm. So he was working on the Millennium Dome show.
It was just at the end, yeah. It was at the Millennium Dome, and I started in July, so I had about 6 months left, the Millennium Dome show.
Okay. And before he became Director of Higher Education at the NCCA, what was your involvement in circus, your historical context?
What, my historical context in general, I was, for nearly 2 years, I was a clown for Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey Circus in the United States. And I was also boss clown for the clown company that was in Florida at this time in an amusement park called Circus World in Haines City, Florida. So I was clown and then boss clown there. And which is probably a whole another part of an archive, but I ran away from the circus and became a street juggler and came to London, where I met people like Alex Dandridge and Tim Batt and jugglers at Covent Garden. And I hitchhiked around Europe, traveled around Europe to Copenhagen, to Portugal, and came back to settle in France with some other expats. And we started a juggling company called L'Institut de Jonglage, which is the Juggling Institute. And it was just shortened to L'Institut. And we became quite popular in France and around. But we also got quite involved in the juggling convention scene, where we organized a European juggling convention in Laval, France. It's in Brittany, and another one in Saintes, which is in the southwest. And so I did that. But then with my juggling company, I got drawn into teaching at the National Center for Circus Arts in Châlons in France, mm-hmm. Centre National des Arts du Cirque. And then I became full-time there as a juggling tutor and the vocational training coordinator. So again, I had lots of English people coming to do three-month workshops at the center in Châlons. And I was there for nearly 8 years, 7.5 years, and saw that there was an opportunity to run the degree program at Circus Space, and I applied and got the job in July 2000. So that's my circus world.
And where were you born? You're obviously...
I was born in Millersburg, Ohio, United States of America.
Ohio. And was there much... Where did you learn to juggle?
I learned to juggle, and this is weird, I learned to juggle because I broke my leg. My family moved around a lot because my stepfather was vice president of a mobile home factory, and different elements of the mobile homes were made in different parts of the country. And then we were in Pennsylvania, where they made the chassis for the mobile homes. And we had lived on this farm with big trees, and I liked to climb these trees. And one day it was raining a bit like today, and I started coming down out of the tree, and the branches were wet, and I slipped and I broke my leg. I was in the hospital, and it was a pretty bad break. And I was watching TV at the hospital, and there was the actor, James Cromwell. This is back in 19, probably, how old was I? I was probably 15 or 16, so it was like 74, 75. 76 in this area. And James Cromwell was a young actor on this American sitcom called Hot L Baltimore, based on a Neil Simon play. And he just juggled fruit. He was a receptionist in this crummy hotel, and he juggled some fruit, and he made a joke like fruit salad or something like that, and put them away. And he just might have juggled six throws of these pieces of fruit. And I understood it. And I never understood anything in my life, and I understood that, and I taught myself to juggle in the hospital with fruit that I had in the hospital. And this, I tried to do magic before, and I was a cruddy magician. I realized that I was a far better juggler than I was magician. And I just, after, and this is in Ohio, yeah, so it was in, and then Indiana, Pennsylvania, Indiana, and I just taught myself to juggle, and it was in the 70s, middle of the 70s, when there wasn't that much you could find. Juggling for the Complete Klutz was this old book that everyone used.
What was it called, sir?
Juggling for the Complete Klutz.
Complete Klutz.
Klutz, K-L-U-T-Z. You can still find it in bookshops in America. Juggling for the Complete Klutz. And that taught me. Klutz is a Jewish word for a clumsy person.
Oh, okay.
And it's just part of how we say someone that's clumsy in American is a klutz. K-L-U-T-Z.
Okay.
And it was a book. It was a little book, and it had three beanbags sold with the beanbags. So that was one of those things. And so the book taught me some. Then, you know, by piecing things together, I did it. And then I joined. Yeah, then I auditioned for Clown College for Ringling Brothers and got into that, and then got hired, and that's how it all started. But I taught myself to juggle. It's hard to say now when I try to tell my daughters that, you know, there was no internet. You had to go find books. And if there wasn't juggling on TV, you couldn't find juggling.
Mm.
You know, you just had to dig for it.
And was there anybody else at that time juggled at all?
Nowhere. Yeah. It was complete desert, especially in the United States, even though where the IJA, the International Juggling Association, started. And there were, you know, in MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, there was a juggling club, and there was the International Juggling Association was being formed in the 70s.
Mm.
So it was at the beginning of, you know, I kind of feel a bit like I'm a bit of a Forrest Gump in all this, because, you know, it was all this stuff was happening. I kind of stumbled through it.
For me, it kind of came out of nowhere that juggling all of a sudden seemed like everybody, you know, was juggling.
Yeah.
Where did that come from? So that was juggling balls. And did you practice that art a lot then, or did you focus on your...
It's all I did. Juggle. I dropped magic. I just juggled and juggled and juggled all the time.
Yeah.
And then when I went to Clown College, I continued juggling, and then I met the Zunigas, and they taught me more juggling, and I learned to pass with the Zunigas, Zuniga. But this was back, you know, again, it was 1979, 1980, and then I ran away from the circus, but then I juggled with another guy that could do ventriloquism and fire eating, and I did the juggling, and he juggled as well, and I did sword swallowing and some magic as well, and we decided to leave America and find our fortunes in Europe. This was in the same year that there was the Di and Charles wedding. That's when we came over.
Right.
That summer.
Okay, fine. I don't know when that was actually, but I remember. 1980. Yeah. So you went to Europe or to the UK?
Came to UK was our first stop because, yeah, you know, we didn't speak any other foreign languages.
Yeah.
And then we left the UK, went to France because that was when the Centre Georges Pompidou had opened up. And so there was a big street show scene at the Centre Georges Pompidou in Paris. That's where I met people like Arsène and Waldo, all these famous names in the juggling world from the old days. And we were part of that. And then we went to Copenhagen and spent ages and ages in Copenhagen because it was just amazing in Copenhagen.
Big circus scene?
No, none at all, no. But there was a walking street, and because they had nothing, it was, it was over the summer that it was easy to have crowds because there was nothing going on. Mm. There was really nothing going on. There was no circus scene at all. Christiania was popular because it, but that wasn't
Christiania, that's the independent
little neighborhood. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was the big thing in Copenhagen. There was no people find it hard to believe, but in the 80s, beginning of the 80s, there was no circus to speak of. None. Just jugglers around and people trying out things. But, you know, it was the beginning of the end probably for classical circus. It was starting really to go on its downers. And, you know, probably how long afterwards when we started our first... We started coming through... 80, Chalon was 86, 85, 86. So it was still, 1980s, it was still maybe, and I don't get my dates right, but for our chaos to show up, it was still 10 years. If when we showed up in 1980, it was probably still 10 years before our chaos was around. So there was nothing. But our chaos...
Our chaos came out about the same
I mean, when they had Metal Clown and all that.
1989.
There, see? So 1980, so in 1980, 81, there was just the street show scene and jugglers. And it's funny because I keep thinking that it is funny, but history does repeat itself. And you have something like the circus that was invented in this city, down on the site of St. Thomas's Hospital, which was basically equestrian theater. It wasn't circus. It was a big ring with horses running around in it. And when people got bored, he needed to figure out what else to put in that. And he brought in people to do comedy dell'arte and all different things. And he brought in the jugglers. He brought in the wire walkers. And because they were all in this space, it became the circus. But those things, circus didn't exist.
We're talking about here.
Yeah, we're talking about London. Yeah, yeah. No, not in the roundhouse. No,
where was that?
It was Philip Astley's equestrian theater down on the side of St. Thomas's Hospital, down by where the Millennium, where the London Eye is. It's just on the site where St. Thomas's Hospital is now, on the banks of the Thames, is where circus was invented.
You said you toured Europe a little bit, and you went to France and Copenhagen.
Yeah.
What did you find over there in terms of circus, considering that our chaos were emerging just shortly after that? Was there any hint of that?
No, in the beginning, no. It was just a street show juggler scene. Mm. There was no circus other than what's this big circus, the traditional circus building in Copenhagen. But there was no it's hard to say, but in 1980, 81, 82, I didn't see any circus. My world was street shows. Mm. Street show, I'd go to different street show festivals in Germany and in Holland, but there were street shows and there were jugglers and there wasn't anyone calling themselves circuses. They were street shows.
Mm.
And there were, you know, great big popular street show companies, street theater, but no one called themselves circus. Mm. I mean, for years.
Mm.
I mean, that's my impression.
And of course, Chalon now is still a big name in street theatre and street circus.
Well, both
circus.
Of them, yeah. Chalon and Champagne, Chalon, and then what's the other one? There's Chalon, the Furies in Chalon, and then there's...
there's Tarragon, but that's...
No, fine. No, what's the other one in the south of France? There's... that's okay. Doesn't matter.
Avignon.
No, there's another street show festival. There's another... street show festival, but that's okay, no problem. But no one, until our chaos come along, there was no one doing circus. People were doing different circus arts, but no one pulled it together to call it circus. There were jugglers, there were acrobats, there were magicians, there were all kinds of people, but until our chaos decided to do a new circus. And
what
then,
came first, burlesque or our chaos?
Oh, I have no idea.
No.
What burlesque, I mean. But I remember we were on tour. We got invited to the Just Pour Rire Festival, the Just for Laughs Festival in Montreal, and we went to see the first show of Soleil in Montreal at the Just for Laughs Festival. So this is still, you know, the end of the 80s, the end of the 80s, beginning of the 90s. But I don't have all the dates in my head, but see, so that this whole new circus stuff hadn't started at all.
Wonder what do you reckon it's worth now then to the economy, circus?
Oh, it's worth arts in general. Circus in France, for example, a study came out in France that circus was second only to cinema in the amount of audience numbers.
Wow.
So in France, it's amazing. Mm. And I think that's possible here. Mm. I don't know what it would be, what it generates here, but I wish someone would realize that the arts across this country is what really generates the revenue, the creative arts. Because what's the first thing someone does in the morning and the last thing they do at night is they engage with the arts somehow. They listen to the radio or they watch television or they read a newspaper. And before they go to bed, they watch TV or they listen to music or they read a book or they... And where are those actors and those technicians and the people that fill all these hours of airtime? First of all, they're artists and technicians, they're culture. And who designs the labels on the stuff in the supermarkets? Artists. Who decides what colors on the trains? Other artists. And you can't even build a car until somebody draws it. Someone has to draw a car so everyone else knows how to make it. And if someone doesn't learn to draw, a factory can't exist. And I don't understand. It's something that's at the heart of everything we do. And somehow people try to negate it. But nothing we can do in our day-to-day life can be done without art and culture underneath it. And the weekends, it just realize everyone, I mean, you guys know what Glastonbury represents. Just in tents alone from Decathlon. You know, how much for one guy to do a guitar on the pyramid stage. The amount of people that have come in trains and have bought food and have bought tents and have bought tickets and the technicians and the lights and the toilets and the food stalls. All that stuff in hotels and blah, blah, blah. It's millions. Millions, millions, millions. But what the public investment, the government, central government investment in that is barely half of 1% of the entire budget of the country. Yes. Imagine if they doubled it to 1%.
Doubled it to 1%. That's sad.
But if you say it's less than half of 1% of the entire UK budget goes to culture. And it's horrendous. And they're trying to cut it more. Yeah.
There's no way to cut it through, is there?
But see, that's purely stupid accountant logic. Because they go cut where there isn't a lot of money. But those little bits of money are big money to a lot of people. Someone that gets 10 million, you could cut theirs. They would figure out how to adapt. But somebody like, I know, the National Center, we get 400,000 every year. And they want to cut that. And people think we're rolling in it. But that 400,000 is not even 15% of our annual turnover. But if that disappeared, where would we have to earn £400,000? It would put how we deliver the degree program in danger. It would put people's jobs in danger. You know, it's almost £500,000. And that's, for us, that's a lot of money. But £500,000 for, I don't know, people that make 10 or 20 million, it's not a lot.
No.
Anyway, it's just, I find the discussion quite fascinating in how vital arts are. And I don't know, circus, you know, I'm not going to sit around. Circus probably doesn't contribute a lot compared to music and television and cinema. And this, you know, you have Pinewood Studios here. So, I mean, they make all the Harry Potters there and they do all the Star Wars. Of course, that's big. So cinema, circus probably doesn't contribute that much, but it contributes. It contributes far more than it takes out.
Yeah.
And that's the important thing. But it's something, why, if you're going to talk about how important arts are, it's the only art form that we know was invented in this country. Why not celebrate it?
Are we sure of that?
Yes, of course we are. All the history books will tell you. Philip Astley, 1786, Equestrian theater on the side of St. Thomas's Hospital. The beginning of circus in the world.